Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What was the market like?
I went to Trader Joe's. I didn't go in. Calf went in.
All right. So explain to me what Trader Joe's in New York City looks like right now.
So you wait in line outside.
Yeah.
There's a line around the block and then around the next block.
Oy.
Of people in masks standing like 8 feet apart from each other.
Yeah.
And then they've got a guy at the door that basically, as somebody comes out, they let somebody in.
Right.
And then you get in the store and it's empty.
In classic New York styles, this guy holding a clipboard wearing a tight black shirt.
Yeah. I want it to be like classic. I remember way back in the early 90s, I witnessed this like rounding up of junkies on like right in the, like right across from like where Max Fish.
Right.
Used to be like
when Lower East Side was Lower East Side still. Yeah, yeah.
And these guys just literally like they were herding cattle. They came out with sticks and yelled at them and like beat these junkies and they get them all in line. And then they, you know, they'd stand there in line for like 10 minutes and all of a sudden somebody come running through, grab all their cash. Then another guy would come running through and hand them each a bag. And then the guys with the sticks would come back out and yell at them to like to break it up and get off the block and not do their shit on the block. And
they needed.
Like, it's like here I am on the Lower East Side watching this other line, and I'm thinking, they should have a stick.
Yeah. Or a guy with a clipboard. It always helps. I have one time, and it's a funny connection since, you know, Jeff Rosenstock, our interview, lived in Greenpoint, Brooklyn for a long time. Many, many years ago when Greenpoint was still predominantly Polish. I think it's still, very Polish.
It's
but
still
maybe
probably
not
the
as,
most authentic neighborhood, like in New York.
Yes,
as far as
in New
history.
York.
Yeah,
1000%. Yeah, and I went out. It's one of the. There's been a couple nights in my life I've been convinced to go out dancing, like dance club style. This is one of the nights. In order to do that, I got to be pretty lit up, you know. So I'm doing this, and I get taken from place to place. And one of the last places I go, I see just kind of a bald, burly-looking Polish guy with a silk shirt, button kind of low and stuff like that. And I just walked up to him, handed him my license, and he goes, I am not the bouncer. Yeah.
I love it.
I know. He was cool about it. He was cool. But, yeah, so...
Did
it's
you
nice
get to go dancing though?
I did. I went in. I could cut a little rug. It's not about that. It's more the scene. I've never been able to like. I just can't like take myself seriously when I'm in those environments.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time just like letting go and being publicly foolish. So I don't do well in that environment. You know, I do much better like. If you want me like windmilling to converge or something, that's a much more comfortable environment
right.
for me.
That's your
place. Yeah. So we had this, the beginning of our at home.
Yeah.
This series
is going to be the first one in our, COVID. COVID-19.
Oh, that's a nice jingle.
Yeah.
That's a nice jingle.
Should we do a little,
yeah,
let's
get
it
off. Let's get a jingle going.
COVID-19.
So we had Jeff on first, who we got in from now Los Angeles, where he's living. That was great. You know what's great about Jeff? One of the funniest things, I was thinking about this interview, and the thing I love about Jeff is, you know, I've been asking this question to everyone we're talking to, which is like, you know, what is the thing that you've been doing or telling yourself to, like, convince yourself to be positive and have hope and all those things? And in classic Jeff fashion, he's like, I don't have anything, dude. Nothing. You know,
bullshit. And,
but the thing I love about that is, like, I mean, Jeff is just, like, so honest. And you know, even a statement like that, like, to me, is Jeff's music. Because, you know, you would think, you'd be like, oh, that's not a very, like, hopeful person, and I can't, like, attach myself to that. But quite the opposite. Jeff is so raw about, like, his own fear, his own anger, his own emotions towards situations, and he writes it so cleverly into his music that, like, I think people relate to how he's feeling and the way he's able to present it and how honest he is with it. So I thought that one answer to the question right there was, like, just super Jeff and kind of the reason why, like, his music is unique and special, you know?
Right. It's honest, man.
Yeah, he is.
You can tell when they're posing.
Yeah, that's a fact. If that guy's not doing anything, he's certainly not fronting. That's a fact. I could say that for sure. And I feel bad about his fantasy team. Him and Christine, his wife, literally, I mean, he's not lying. They were dominating this league, like, all through the season. And Jeff is really competitive about this and takes it seriously. So I don't think he's overblowing how, like, his first reaction to the NBA shutting off must have been, fuck my fantasy team. So I feel for him there, man. I hope he gets him next year. So what do you think? We should roll into this?
Let's roll into our first COVID podcast, Going Off Track.
The at-home series. It's going off track! Yeah.
Right.
Now I hear Richard Dreyfuss loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jeff. What's up? You know what's funny? The minute I hear your voice, I like a unique comfort just like goes over my body. And it's not necessarily because you're like the most comforting human ever.
I don't think I am.
But I know I'm about to have a good time. So there's something about that that's just like makes me just ready to go. I hear your voice and I'm like, you know what? A good time is ahead.
I feel the same about you, Benny. It's nice to hear your voice. I haven't heard you in a long time. Yeah.
I know.
We text too much. And you're always, a long time. That is to say. I've heard some pods.
Well, you're always green, so I always lose your text, too.
Oh, what?
Because you're
green. I'm Android? You fucking, like, iPhone people have this, like, you can like a text and you can, like, basically you could do all this stuff to a text to just not respond to it. But still respond to it. And it comes through an Android phone as it just says, Benny Horowitz liked, hey, Benny, how are you doing today? Are you doing good? And it just repeats my whole text at me. And it's like, man, I get it. Class war amongst the platforms.
So this is where, so I'm coming from a different place with this. Okay. I've been treating texts like emails for a really long time. And I've been yelled at forever because of it. Someone's like, hey, I texted you. And I'm like, yeah, when I have a chance to actually sit down and respond with proper, you know, grammar and things like that, I'll go ahead and do it, even if it's 2 days later.
But you don't I don't believe that you treat all texts like that.
Well, I don't anymore. So I used to be like, all right, all my blue texts, I'm going to open the computer and I'm going to respond with, like, you know, some breath, you know, where I can write real sentences, a little spell check, you know, but you're green. so you don't even appear on my computer. Your text doesn't even exist.
I'm just on the phone and I'm in the void of no grammar, no spelling.
So if you happen to get 5 or 6 texts back in my phone, I don't know. You're just gone.
That's fine. I don't take any offense to that because I am so incredibly bad at you know, responding to, I read them and I'm just like, ooh, I got to think of something good to say. And then lo and behold, I never think of anything good to say. And then
I know. And then it's just like, I had to do that to you and Chris last week.
What?
I had to do that to you and Chris last week. I both texted both of you at the same time, like early morning, to have you guys appear on my podcast. And at like 4 p.m, I texted both of you going, yeah, cool, guys.
Oh,
thanks for writing me back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's sorry about that. I don't know what this like, it's like a, it's anxiety, but why? For fucking what? You know what I mean? Like, why does it have to exact itself in this way? Who gives a shit as a text?
That is true. Well, it's because you're leaving yourself in an arena to be judged.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and you especially know, if you're
which
like,
will always-
if you are a person like me and you kind of deal with your social anxiety and that kind of stuff, it, like through trying to make a joke or try and be funny or trying to like say a thing like that. Man, yes. A text message. It's hard.
No
text
good.
Message is
no
tough. Yeah, I just don't write back to him, and everybody thinks I'm a jerk. And then when they see me, I try and be nice and even it out for a second. So this whole thing is hard,
very complicated. So where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles. Yes, I'm in Highland Park.
You're
thankful that we moved out of New York. So much love for my New York friends and just the whole, like, all of Greenpoint where I lived for like the last 8 or 9 years. I just kind of hope everything, you know, stays. I don't even, not stays, you know what I mean? I'm thinking about Brooklyn a lot, but also, I'm a fucking idiot. If I was in New York, I would have probably like, been accidentally licking a subway pole and be like, oh, wait, shit, you can get it that way. it's good that I'm out of harm's way, I think.
Yeah, that probably would have happened. Exactly. No, it's true. Do you think the donut, that great donut spot across the street from your apartment?
Oh my God. You know, I don't know. I've been trying to check out Instagrams of places that that I liked, but I don't know if Mo's Doe's has one. Like a lot of the spots that I liked didn't really do social media, and isn't that cool? But a lot of spots, like it's, I don't know, like Brooklyn Standard, which is a deli I went to all the time, doesn't really do social media. I've been meaning to like buy a can of coffee beans from Champion, which is a coffee spot that I liked.
Right.
I don't know. It's this weird, like, I don't know, you know. I don't know if Mo's Doe's is okay. I'm going to check when we get off this phone call. I know that my pizza place that I liked, Vinny's Pizza, has been delivering pizzas to essential workers and stuff. And you could go on Chow Now or their website or whatever, and you can order a pizza, but just say, donate this. And then they're giving like 8 pizzas to the UPS guy or whatever. And it's like sick. Awesome. So I know they're doing okay, but I don't know about Mo's Doe's, man. Shit.
That place is great, though.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, go to Mo's Doe's, whether they're open or not. Just check.
What's the address? Do you remember? You remember the block?
I mean, yeah, I know. It was across the street from me. It's on Nassau Avenue in between Eckford and McGinnis on the south side of the street. Is that helpful?
Yeah, and if you want like a real old school New York donut and not one of those like, hey, we put like bacon and peanut butter and candy crunch and shit like
that. Well, they do that shit too. They do a little bit of everything. They're basically, there's a storied donut spot in Greenpoint called Peter Pan Donuts, which is rightfully, you know, has earned its reputation. And yes. Mo's Doe's is very similar to that place, except no one seems to give a shit, which I like, which I'm into. Like, all right, party.
Yeah. Well, I
like it too. Everybody likes it. It's great. Go to Mo's Doe's. Whether they're open or not, whether they have donuts or not, just go there. Great building.
So I've been able to pinpoint my flashbulb moment in all this.
Okay.
With the Rudy Gobert night.
Yes.
Like that is when, you know, I sat down at 7 and change as I normally do, you know, got my boxes loaded up, just seeing what's going on in the NBA, checking the fantasy. Uh-huh. And then, you know, right before the Jazz game's about to start, suspended, you know, and then I get the alerts.
Yeah.
And then within like 2 days, you know, like NCAA, MLB, you know, NBA all stopped. And to me, that was like the turning point moment where it went from like weird to real. Did you have
it? It was 100% that moment. It was, so the way it all kind of played out. Also, can we just sidebar very quick? I would have fucking won this year in fantasy. I would have fucking won.
Oh my God.
I would have kicked everybody's fucking ass. I'm the commissioner. I've never won. This was my year. Christine was in second place. So like the only person who could have taken me out was Christine. We were both like, that's sick. Our household is fucking on top.
Family dominance.
And, like,
I know.
And, you know, the virus said no. Christine's.
Don't think that wasn't in my follow-up questions, by the way.
Okay, well, we could dive in. But yeah, Christine's mom was supposed to come out here like March. I've lost track of what day it is. So let's say March 15th. And these dates are wrong. I'm just going to say that. and we were talking to her the morning that just basically it's like 2 days before she came out, she was supposed to come out. We were talking to her the morning that the NBA got canceled. And she was just like, I think I'm going to cancel my flight. And we were like, yeah, you should. We don't know what's going to happen. We might be in lockdown.
Yes.
And she canceled her flight. We were like, okay, well, that's good. At least we're being safe. At least we're taking the precautions. Probably nothing, but you know, can't hurt. And then Christine came in and was like, NBA's canceled. I immediately thought only about my fantasy basketball team and not about the ramifications. And I turned on that Mavericks game and it was just crazy.
Yes.
And then our friends, Roger Harvey and Anika Pyle, were flying out to LA to start a tour while this was happening. Right. And they landed that night, and they were just like, shit. And we met up with them. And I think the NBA was the moment, the NBA getting canceled. Tom Hanks got the coronavirus at the same time. I don't know why. That seemed to be a big moment for a lot of people. All the love in the world for Tom Hanks. But like, it's just like, okay, another person got it. People are getting this thing.
Yes.
And yeah, we met up with Anika and Roger at a bar to get some dinner that night. And the bar was like not super packed, obviously. And we said hello and like gave them a hug. And we're like, wait, are we supposed to not hug?
Right.
What are we supposed to do here? And they told, and Roger was telling us about how like on their flight, like all this fucking news was coming in. Like they took off and they're like, okay. It seems like the center will hold basically, and we'll be able to do our tour. And then when they're up, they're just like, "Oh shit!" And then we were just talking. They're like, "What do we cancel this tour?" And we're just like, "Yeah, you probably have to cancel this tour." They're just like, "Fuck!" And so there was like a 24 hours where I feel really lucky that, like, I mean, for a lot of reasons, I feel lucky, but in particular, like, me and Christine were able to kind of parse all of this with our friends, Roger and Anika. And then, we had a dinner when they stayed over, we had dinner and Chris Farron came over and his wife Cassie came over. Nice. And we all just kind of talked about it and we had a very nice night. And then I basically never saw anybody again. So it was crazy, man.
That's crazy.
Wild.
They flew out.
I know, right? And then they drove back. They drove home. They were staying in an Airstream trailer. It's been, since this has happened, it's been unseasonably cold and rainy in LA for like a month straight.
Is that right?
So it's just been raining a lot. And they were just like in this rainy Airstream trailer, like the first night they were here. And I don't know. Does that answer your question? So it was like a lot of like, moments on top of themselves, but also I feel like I'm experiencing those moments regularly, like in conversations with our booking agent about like, okay, well, now this month is off limits. Now this month is off limits. Now this month is off limits. In reading the news, it's like, okay, actually, you have to wear a mask outside. And I was like, oh, okay, okay. The thing I found out just before this, a new symptom. Do we want to get into symptoms, or is that too?
Sure.
Is fair fizzing. Game,
is what?
What the fuck
fizzing.
Is
fizzing? It's when your body feels like it's fizzing, like it has an electrical shock going through it.
Oh my! Yeah.
So that was another. I found that out like right before this. It was just like Jesus fizzing. Christ.
This is the medical term, fizzing.
Fizzing. Yeah, I don't know. I've never whatever
even came up with.
Huh?
So
I've never heard of that.
I'm to imagine like I put an Alka-Seltzer in a soda.
Yeah, but it's the skin of your body. Cool. Yeah, it sounds good, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that night really does seem like it. And in an interesting twist of fate for me. It actually happened to fall on the same exact date as the day I was in the earthquake in Japan in 2011. Oh. It was March 11th was the day of the earthquake and the typhoon and everything that subsequently happened after. And the day of the Rudy Gobert thing and, you know, the day you're talking about was March
11th. My mind completely erased that happened on 3/11 day because I am a true 3/11 fan and I understand they don't want their positive aura to be tied to the coronavirus.
And you do know Cousin Frank, who helped us record most of the Antarctica Vespucci records,
all of them,
has a beautiful 3/11 tattoo on
his
leg.
Not know that. That fucking rules.
Makes you love him
yeah.
more.
I love Cousin Frank.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
I had no idea you were in the earthquake. That's crazy that it was, that it's the anniversary of. Fuck, man.
Yeah, and that was a really, like, you know, obviously it was a flashbulb moment in my life and something I'll never forget, yeah. But that was a real, like, AB moment for me, like, on a personal level in the way I treat my life and see things. There's kind of a before earthquake and after.
Yeah. You know? I know exactly. I mean, a lot of people have been drawing parallels, and I agree with fucking September 11th with like when, and it's the same feeling now, except right. It's stretched out forever.
yes.
But
yes.
Like the feeling of the night after just being like, what happens? Like that feeling of uncertainty of like what happens next
yes.
because nobody knows. You know, and because, and I think, I don't know, whatever. I don't need to go down that road, but like,
get into it. We can get 9/11.
Well, there's not a,
we need benchmarks. We need examples.
There's not days there's not much time that goes by that I don't think about the aftermath of September 11th and how it was used to pass so much unconstitutional yes. shit. And that scares me yes. about this moment, you know? And I'd like to see yes. this as, you know, this could go one of two ways. One way is that we can, like, society as a whole will realize that the people who work in a warehouse and deliver your fucking coloring books from Amazon, the person who delivers your Chinese food, the person who has their laundromat open, like these people are actually essential to the fabric of our being
yes.
and we need to hold yes. them with some respect. Or it just is consolidating power to massive companies like Amazon, like Facebook, because we're just yes. using their services nonstop. Like I haven't checked, but like their business is good for these people. Business is crazy good for these people.
Yeah, you're fine.
So it's just more consolidation of power, and it could go that way. And yes. I'd love to think that it would go the first way, but I, because of what history has taught me, I seriously have my doubts. So, you know,
yeah.
I just try not to think about that as much. You know, when those thoughts pop in, yeah. I try and go, okay, and just push them.
Well, I mean, there is, you know, it's an interesting part of it. So my father was a kid in the middle of the Bronx during the polio scare. And he said it was a very real thing. For two summers, there was like a palpable fear in the neighborhood. And one of my aunt's friends had passed away. One of his friend's brothers had passed away. Like it was something that really hit home.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, so obviously I can empathize with the situation of a looming threat around. is like the difference is, you know, we didn't live with it 24 hours a day. He's like, yeah. You know, like we knew it was out there. We knew it was going on, but life was kind of kicking around and there wasn't this like hyper vigilant focus on the one thing. And almost like a mass of information, which makes it more convoluted. And
I think something interesting that you said is that he knew what was going on. And I think that one of the really scary things about this is that I don't feel like I do know what's going on. And I feel like I have a lot of conflicting information. I feel like it changes all the time. And I wonder if that changes. I wonder if the reason that's changing is because it keeps us watching, you know? And I said something similar when I was on this podcast before the 2016 election, that, you know, basically, you know, it's beneficial to these media companies for Donald Trump to be the president, and they could say all that they want to say, but they're getting more eyes on their ads with Donald Trump on there. And I remember I was like, I think I sound like a crazy person. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was right. It's just like, whether or not that's what's happening, it's hard not to have that in the back of your mind and be like, well, what the fuck is real, man? Like, what is happening? So, you know, I don't know. To try and deal with that, I just go to like, you know, go to the WHO website, go to the CDC website, look at like published things from like scientific journals and shit, and not really try and pay attention to any of that noise. I don't have TV right now, thank fucking God. I'm not watching it. I'm already done with these fucking people after what they did with Bernie Sanders. So I'm like, all right, I don't.
Yeah,
I see how you are. Okay.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's part of the question. So I know, you know, you're an outspoken Bernie supporter, have been for a long time now.
Yeah.
Like with the recent develops, like, you know, even in the face of the virus and stuff, like, have you decided how you'd like to move forward, like politically, like, or is that
what does
something
that mean?
That you just gotta like, had you had a decision? Because, you know, I like Bernie Sanders as well. But it seemed to me from an outsider's perspective that what happened a couple days ago was going to happen for like a long time. Like I sort of expected it. And I have to assume like a rational Bernie Sanders supporter also at least 50% expected it and had a thought of what they would want to do with this after it happened. Like, you know, so much energy got put into somebody who you can no longer support. Like, where are you going to try to move that energy?
I'm just going to be happy to have that energy back, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Okay. I see.
I don't know. You know, it was like,
yeah.
You know, I think if you're ramming your head against opposition that is just coming at you unrelentingly, and the opposition I'm talking about is from, let's put a big blanket term on it and say the Democratic Party.
Sure.
I don't think you're like, okay, well, I don't. I mean, me personally, I'm like, all right, I'm going to take a beat here because it was brutal. You know, the first few primaries where Bernie was clearly like on the path to win, saying clearly is leading. I don't mean that, but like he won that first primary. I don't believe
promising.
For a fucking second that he did not like, oh, it is a weird coincidence that, the person who won only the first primary announced that he won before all the votes were counted and was part of a company that ran the voting, which was called like Shadow Corp or something. It was so crazy. It was just like,
it's a comic book. Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I'm not really thinking about that, where my energy is going to go. I think maybe my energy could go away from Twitter, which would be a positive thing. But I think that I don't take this as a big loss. I take it as a loss that he can't debate anymore and bring up points. But like, if there's any good to take from this, it's just like, hopefully, he has shifted, the Democratic Party's, perception of what their base is, you know? And like, if they want to win elections, that they're going to need to include people who have radical ideas, such as we shouldn't have concentration camps, and if you have COVID-19, you shouldn't have to pay $13,000 to not have it anymore, or you die.
Whoa,
I'm sorry.
Getting a little radical over here. I'm feeling uncomfortable. You know?
I think I'm just kind of hoping that that is what happens. But, and again, I think that's if the Democratic Party wants to win, and then conspiracy theory me thinks I'm not entirely sure they do want to win.
Oh, can you tell me why? Because I don't know about that.
No, it's not. It just, well, because they, the reason, the sign I see is that they were super behind Joe Biden, even though Donald Trump was clearly digging up dirt in the face of our Constitution against Joe Biden. And they were still like, no, this is the candidate. He can't like form a sentence. Yeah. They're like, no, this is our candidate. While there are a lot of other options. If you think about Elizabeth Warren, whose policies are more centrist, which is what the Democratic Party says that they are interested in, they didn't give her any fucking FaceTime on TV. They didn't show her, you know? So that's like the signs. And then the benefit is just that, like, you know, I think that terror and fear makes social control easy. And I think that we are currently in a country that likes to exercise social control and maybe are taking a little bit more heavy handed now that it seems like a lot of us who are fucking in on the joke and get it, like younger people, the younger generations, as Bernie says, 50 and under, which, man, bless Bernie for saying that people who are 50 or younger are the younger generation. But like, you know, we're noticing it. So I think they have to take more drastic measures to keep the power out of the hands of the people. And that's,
I could,
yeah. Damn, am I crazy? Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy because, I mean, if you really believe in the concept that, you know, there is a ruling class, the ruling class has nothing to do with politics. They'll just figure out a way to remain the ruling class. Yes. So I don't think it's crazy. I don't know if it's true as far as like the absolute ins and outs.
Yeah,
of it,
I don't know if it's
but
true.
Is it crazy? No, it's not fucking crazy. It's super rational in the face of the things that we see and are exposed every day. Why couldn't that be rational?
Yeah, I wish it was more irrational, to be honest with you. I wish I was just like crazy.
Me too.
I mean, I think that's the cloud here, but you know.
But that's part of the reason why what's happening right now is a little bit illuminating, you know, when you realize the power in your own life is always yourself and the people close to you. And you're given this illusion from a really early time that you need to feed into a government or feed into a religion or feed into a country to be protected throughout life. It's almost like you give up certain aspects of your freedom in order to be protected.
Yeah.
This is like part of the trade-off of a democracy, you know? So when you're giving away those things and realizing that they actually don't care about you and they're not really taking care of you anyway, and that your life could literally be used as like a political agent against somebody else. Yeah, it's fucking illuminating and people should be disturbed by
it. But what the thing that I just, that unfortunately I keep coming back to is like, what does that illumination do? Where do you take that? How does that work? Like, what is it fuel for if not just rage, you know?
I think you said it. It's going to fuel a tipping point. And which way that tipping point goes, I don't know if anybody could predict, but it's certainly not going to reset back to the normal balance we had. That's a fact.
Do you think so? It could. It could just, people might like, I don't know. You ever smoke cigarettes?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. You ever quit smoking?
Twice. Okay. Yeah.
Like, you know, you have that first cigarette, you're just like, okay, I'm just drunk and I'm just having a cigarette. It's no big deal. And then all of a sudden you're smoking cigarettes again. And I feel like that could apply to the creature comfort habits, that we've kind of acquired over time living in American society. And, you know, at first you might be like, oh, I don't need to basically live life the way that I did, 'cause now I understand how shit works. But then at some point, you know, you get into your routine and you're going into work every day. You're going to office every day and you're hustling every day. You're just like back in it, you know?
I do believe that there's like a physically tangible element to this that's going to leave change whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
So, fizzing. Both you and I are in fizzing. Yeah, whatever the fuck that's going to feel like. Yeah. Even for people like us who've literally like, I mean, we've banked the bulk of our careers about basically booking and forming rooms to put as many people as possible in them. And if we're doing a good job, those people are super sweaty and on top of each other and yelling in each other's faces and jumping on each other. And that's when we're like doing good.
Yeah.
And I never really, exactly. And the idea of how far off in society we are right now from letting 1,000 people into a room together without any restrictions, without distancing, it seems a really far time
away. Yeah, man. It's frustrating.
And there's going to be, and you're already seeing it within the first few weeks, and you're a big part of it because it's something I even wanted to ask about, just being productive at home and playing shows and or whatever we're calling them, online shows and creating, charities for people and certain things to help. It's already like right before our eyes, just as a matter of need, people are recreating it within the first month.
Yeah.
And this is going to go for a really long time.
Do you think people will continue to retain interest in like a live stream?
I don't know.
Really.
I think it's got to change and it's going to keep changing in different ways. But I know it's got to remain for the same idea that like people need music. They're going to want new music and it might be a year or two before they're going to be able to get in a room and actually see
God,
it.
God, I hope it's not a year.
I think
or two.
A lot
it's
of-
fucking crazy, man. I personally needed to take a year off from touring because I was just, I was not mentally healthy. I'll just leave it at that.
Gotcha.
And this is the time we're like, all right, man, let's go. And I was like, I'm so stoked to get back out there. And now, I don't even know when that's going to be. And I'm just like, it's such a fucking weird and sad. Like, because I think at times like this, people need that connection. People need to get in a room with other people and, know that there's love around them, essentially,
Yeah, sure.
And it's very palpable in that way, in a way that it isn't in a lot of other settings, The only thing I could think of, and I joke all the time how much more popular sports is than music. Because of how many more people go to those games and stuff. There's always a competitive negativity there. And music isn't really like that. It's just like everybody in that room is like stoked to be a part of a thing. And you could you could see people talking in like these live streams and like the chat rooms and stuff. And that's fun and that's cool.
Yes.
But I'm craving that feeling. And I'm just, I wonder when the fuck you'll be able to get that back,
Yeah. I mean, we're communal animals. Like it definitely needs to come back at some point. It's amazing. I mean, it's something I never realized I ever had to take for granted or realized I had to appreciate was the fact that I'm in a live setting with this many people. It never even crossed my mind that that's dangerous. How many times
did you feel like with Gaslight that it was just like a switch flipped and all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, we're big? Or did it feel like, because you were playing to a lot of people, I'm wondering if that is maybe led to like that it didn't even register in the same way that it does now,
Maybe not. I mean, for me, like I was shocked like every step of the way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
So like the first time that we were going places and like 25 people were there and like 10 knew the record.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because that was a benchmark I had never reached at that point.
It's a great feeling when you're in a band and that happens. And basically, the thought I had when it was like, oh shit, there's like 20 to 40 people at these shows, was like, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a really obvious one because I had been in so many bands for so long that I've played new music for like hundreds of people and sat there gauging their reactions. You know what
I mean?
And like,
that's crazy.
Sat there just watching and this and like, and for years and years, I could tell like there's a little bit of a like I knew people were helping me out because they wanted to help me out, but didn't really love what I was doing.
Yeah.
They just liked me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never had anybody who liked me that wanted to see my band really early on. I like you, but your band's annoying.
Yeah, exactly. And then the first time like Gaslight did a demo and I'm playing it for people and I'm seeing like a different reaction, you know, where I'm like, oh, you actually like this.
Yeah.
You're not just going to give me a pity show right now. Like, I can actually, like, you know, do something for you.
Did you call anybody on it? Like, but I thought you liked all of it.
No. I was just, you know, dude, when you're fighting, you know, to get, like, 2 t-shirts sold to, you know, get some Taco Bell or something, like, you know the deal. You're just
And now like, your Taco Bell's free!
Yo, give me that bucks. But, yo, that was the last time I almost did takeout.
Taco Bell? Because he keeps talking about, like, you should get Taco Bell, you should get Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That's funny she said that, because those were the two I had on this trip. So I went out to get, one day I went out to get, like, some painting supplies. I'm doing some work in the house I'm in, and, you know, some booze at the booze store. I did the big, you know, let's get everything at once day. And I didn't want to leave the car if I didn't have to. I wasn't trying to eat random food. I was scared.
Yeah.
But I was really hungry, and I drove past the Taco Bell, pulled into the lot. And I'm like, it's hot food.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a corporation. They have a lot to lose. And then I'm like, no, I can't do it. I can't get this for Taco Bell. I can't do it for Taco Bell. And I drove out. And then I ran like 2 more errands and wound up at the drive-thru of a Dunkin' Donuts about to get a Beyond Sausage sandwich on the same logic. And literally pulled out of the drive-thru. Like the Dickens. Like, no, I can't do this.
If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it for Taco Bell?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't go out like no Willy Lump Lump here. That's no good. No.
I need to know what your order was.
No, I didn't do it.
You didn't do either.
No. What I'm saying is that these were my temptations, just like Christine, where I was like, this is what I'm going to do. But I held out. I can't do it. I've been trying to cook at home. If I get it from some weird fluke reason, okay, I tried my best. But if I get it from a Taco Bell drive-thru, I just can't live with myself.
Yeah, that's like Darwin Awards shit, huh?
But to let you know, I would have gotten 2 cheesy gordita crunch.
Ooh, okay.
With beans replacing
beef.
Can
I ask you something? Have you tried subbing black beans for beef yet?
I have. It's good.
Okay.
You like it better?
Yeah. Better than that paste, you know? Just thinking about it.
I mean, beans that come out of a caulking gun are still just so enticing to me. I don't know what it is.
I think it's that, like, when we were kids, it became vegetarian. I don't know when you stopped eating meat. When did you stop eating meat?
1993.
Oh, shit. Okay. So, you know, there was, like, not a lot of options for fast food. And Taco Bell, like, you could just get the bean paste on anything and eat at a normal restaurant. You're like, ooh.
Yeah, man. And many times, I think me and Alex from Gaslight are the ones who created the Roy Rogers salad from the fixings bar.
Oh, I know about that Roy Rogers salad. Yeah. At those turnpike stops. Yeah. There's so much COVID in that Roy Rogers salad right now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You don't want to go
there.
It's
just like everybody who is just like, you know what? I know people are dying, but I don't think this virus is real. Or just all that Roy Rogers fix-it bar. Like,
all over.
That's some tomatoes.
Slopping all over. That's what I'm talking about. Does a buffet ever even come back after this?
Oh, shit.
I don't know. Some simple pleasures might go away. That's what I'm saying.
R.I.P. Sizzler. You know what the move would be? I think you just, like, your server, you, like, look, you say, I want this stuff, and they just bring it to you, and that's the fucking deal for a while. Will they do that?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
So, I was talking about how, you know, obviously sports got taken away from me, but in a strange way, I've actually kind of enjoyed the break. Like it's given like a mental space for me that I haven't had in a long time. And I was wondering for you, what's like a creature comfort that you may miss the most? And what's a creature comfort that you were like surprised you don't miss?
I don't know, man. Like a lot. So the cartoon that I composed music for, Craig of the Creek, hasn't slowed down. So I'm thankful. Okay. I'm still working. So my like schedule in that sense hasn't really changed.
That's cool.
So I haven't like gotten that like break from a thing in the same way.
Okay.
I missed basketball because basketball was the thing that because usually like I kind of, you know, get into crazy brain mode to write for a while. And then when I'm done, I like have those wind down things. I really do miss basketball. Cause it was just nice. I also moved to the West Coast and, so basketball's different over here. Like it doesn't happen late at night. And I just found the thing on League Pass where you could turn the scores off so you could just watch the games as if you didn't know, like the day before this happened.
Yeah, because you're watching Knicks games at 4 o'clock.
I'm not watching fucking Knicks games. I miss being able, part of moving out here was being able to see my family and being able to see my niece and my sister more often, and I can't see her very often anymore. We can hang out on her porch, but we can't just like go over and hang in the house for a while. I miss that.
Does your sister live real close?
Yeah, she lives like
walking distance?
No, like 10-minute drive, 5-minute drive. That's super awesome. Close. You could That's walk, great. But not now. Jesus, have you heard what's going on out there? The virus.
LA has always been under social distancing protocol for me.
What's that?
Feels LA has always felt like it's been under social distancing protocols.
Yeah. It is. It is in a lot of ways. I'm not really, I try to not do, I'm trying to not fall into that, and it's making it really easy to fall into just kind of a bit of a what's the word I'm looking for? Cliche is the wrong word, but like a softer word than cliche. Like LA lifestyle
recreation?
Of like, you know, I'm in my house
perhaps?
and I don't really leave my house to go do stuff, you know? I don't know. Yeah. I miss seeing friends that I don't really would count that as a creature comfort. Cause I still like, I don't know, my creature comforts are like fucking playing video games and, drinking coffee and drinking beer. And I still do all those things. Like I still smoke weed and drink coffee and play video games. And like, you know, that hasn't really changed, but being able to see people, I miss that. And I guess honestly, even if we weren't playing for people, I don't know. I was going to start like a super drag cover band with two friends, like right as this started. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to be able to like play music with friends. That sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Strange. Very strange.
Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Well, you didn't have something that you missed. So yeah, you answered it. So I had an argument with my brother about James Dolan, where, you know, so if anybody doesn't know who this is, because as we've dealt with before, going off track is not always a basketball savvy audience.
Sure.
James Dolan is the owner of the New York Knicks, also the Rangers, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, a generally known to be a pretty awful owner, and the Knicks have never come close to winning with him as the owner.
Sure.
And a lot of Knicks fans have a deep vitriol for James Dolan.
Yes.
My brother hit me up when James Dolan tested positive for corona.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, saying, you know, well, at least there's kind of one good thing to come out of this. And I was like, hey, slow your roll. You don't want to put that thing out into the universe that, you know, this is another human still. Like, you don't want that kind of juju these days. And he's like, listen, hippie boy. I corrected him and told him to call me hippie man. And said that, you know, he's like, nah, the world would be better without this.
I'm with them. I'm with your brother.
So you're with,
I'm with your brother. When I found out Boris, when I found out Boris Johnson was in the ICU, I was like, fucking yes.
So you have no interest in feeding the universe the certain types of things because it has no bearing on anything, really.
I don't think that'll get back to me. I think it's a net positive for the world. Like I think I'm feeding the universe something positive, which is that assholes who prey on people get fucked. Yeah. That's, I'm into that.
Well, sometimes.
That's
sometimes.
My vibe, man.
All right. Well, good. Well, Charles Oakley's coming back then, if yes. That's the case.
Oh.
So I'm sorry about your fantasy team. I mean.
Yeah, I'm sorry about it, too. I don't know how to convince you guys to give me the trophy.
I mean, I fought and clawed in that league so hard. I literally had more ad drops than the second highest person by double, I believe, because of how hard I was trying to hang on.
Because of how good those pickups you got were.
But I took a tough loss to Mike Park right at the end.
Ooh.
He put me out of my misery. And then about a week later, the season ended. So I had the reverse of you. I got
you're
to
just like, thank God.
Discard. You know, I'm embarrassed when I don't make the playoffs in a league with a bunch of punk rockers. You know, ooh. I'm supposed to be, you know, that guy. Hey, I'm like a sports nerd, you know? So I got beat. But this year, as you mentioned, you and Christine won 2 in the rankings.
Just now, we just both gotten over Philip. And I think Christine might have been one.
What was your great team name? OG. What was your great team name?
OG Wan Kenobi.
So good. So I'm sorry about your fantasy team. And I do truly think that you had a chance to go ahead. You've never won your.
Man, if all my players were healthy at the finish line, it would like. I was like outscoring other teams by 200, 300 points when everybody was healthy.
And you've never won your own league.
No,
right?
I almost won. I should have won 1 year. I had Kevin Durant and James Harden, and like my top five were just all stars, but they didn't bring it that week.
Yeah.
Like the last.
I'm sorry, bud.
It's fine. I mean,
you'll get
it's,
him one day.
I'd like to say it's not really at the top of my mind these days, but I am a fickle person, and it is.
Yeah, I don't really believe. I truly don't believe that's not at the top of your mind.
Yeah, I think about it plenty.
So I've been trying to like, you know, I've been telling like, I basically can get through this situation, you know, being nice to my family and feeling good about myself and semi-positive, maybe about. I'd say 70% of the time, loosely.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty good number so far. Mm-hmm. But, like, in your estimation, like, day-to-day, are you using anything to tell yourself to, like, convince yourself to have hope and be the best you can and keep working? Like, is there something you're using or telling yourself to kind of to stay in a mindset like
no,
that?
No, and it's hard. If I'm just being honest with you, there's not anything that I'm telling myself. If you're out there and you are feeling hope about things, that's cool. You're right. I'm wrong. Like straight up. But I mean, like I feel really grateful for a lot of things. But that hasn't translated to not kind of getting lost in the bleakness of all this.
Yes.
It makes it difficult, to write. It makes me not happy about the stuff that I come up with when I'm writing, and that just start, and then everything kind of starts spiraling. I don't know, but I also have hope that I'll find my way out of this, and then just kind of, you know, I think some of the hope that I don't know, man, it's weird. I want to have hope that the world will respect people, or that America will respect it's working class after this, but I don't think so. Like I'm bracing myself for the fucking terrible stories about how the first responders will potentially be treated by our healthcare system after this. Cause we did see that after September 11th there's no indication that this is going to be better. And that just like kills me. So unfortunately, no, I try to, but it's always, at the same time, it is always nice to talk to friends and joke around and not really think about it as much. Maybe a silver lining or whatever the fuck, or just a piece of cosmic goodness to it, is that we are all experiencing this together, that mm-hmm. everybody is having their own reaction to it. Everybody's processing it in the way that they are individually, but we're all going through this together. So even, you know, I know that if I do feel bad and if I talk to anybody about it, they're not going to be like, you fucking freak. Why are you feeling bad? We're going to be good. Yeah, stores right. open and yeah. beaches open on Easter, you know?
Yeah, you're good.
We're all, you know, this is, I don't know. I don't want to say the darkest thing, but it's
pretty dark.
I'm about to go further, but I'm bringing it back. I don't know. I think that this is going to eventually, once I figure it out, I think, and I'm going to be forced to figure it out, like, to how to be okay with these times and everything. And I think those will be useful skills to deal with more tragedies in the future.
Sure. Well, I mean, first off, Jim, there's a couple things I got to tell you. As your friend, I got to tell you a couple things. A, be easy on yourself and give yourself a little credit right off the bat.
I'm trying to. Christine's been yelling at me about that too.
Just the simple fact that you're like getting up every day, continuing your work, continuing your life, still managing to reflect on things and be able to talk about it and talk to your friends, it means you're actually in a way better position than a lot of people. And you're not as far as like your privilege or anything, as far as like you're doing good. You know what I mean?
I didn't work today, to be honest with you. And I don't know. I talk to friends when they call me, but I'm not reaching out to anybody.
Yeah. I've been hearing these tips a lot for homeschooling little kids and things like that, where people are like, listen, if it's a bad day and no one's into it, let it go. Because it doesn't matter that much. And the most important thing is for the experience to remain positive in your house. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And the other thing is like, you're not right or wrong for having hope in any sense. Like, and in any time, you're correct in being morbidly depressed. And you're correct in having hope, because they're both super real right now.
Sure.
You know, like it's not like you're being fantastical at all. But I think, you know, it's helpful to maybe just like trim it back day to day and really just like literally look at your own life, look at yourself and find three or four things that you can control. Three or four things that are just still totally within your power, because everything you're talking about is wildly out of your control.
Yeah.
You know, a capitalistic country treating its working class fairly. You've made your point known to the world as much as you could, as many times as you could, more than most people. And there's only so much you can do.
I don't feel blame.
The tipping point in the scale is not on you.
I know.
And your job right now is to help your own life, help your wife, keep your job going well, be supportive to your friends, and let the fucking crazy world play out like it's gonna, because the fuck are you gonna do?
I mean, I worry that that being distracted by all this is causing me to do my job less good, and I don't know. Like I think like a lot of artists and musicians or people who are just generally creative, I think when I found out that I was going to be stuck inside for a long time, I was like, okay, I'm fucking do this project. I'm gonna do this. And I think right now I'm reeling with the reality that I am not getting all that done. I asked Craig to give me episodes early because I was like, fuck it, I just want to work on stuff. And I didn't really give myself the time. I didn't like, I read something somewhere where like, if you feel shitty about being creative, about not being creative during this time, or being distracted at work, like remind yourself, even if you're working at home, it's a moment of crisis. You're working through a crisis, and it's okay to like, you know, do not good for a little bit. I'm trying I'm trying to respect that philosophy. I'm trying to respect you when you tell me, that I should be easier on myself, although it's very hard to respect you, Benny. I'm kidding.
I've done everything I can do to lose respect.
If my wife is saying that to me, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, I think it would do good to just kind of not be so hard on myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. That is what it is. That's just how I've been, man.
Well, Jeff, I love you.
I love you too, Benny. And Brad,
can't wait to see you again.
I'm dropping the L word.
Yeah. Love you
when
too,
When are we
Brad.
Doing this?
Thanks.
And Jeff, I don't give a shit. Next time I see you, I am tonguing your face.
I hope you do give a shit and that you don't do that.
It is a brave new world. Jeff won't accept my love.
Love.
It is falling apart.
Tongue in my face. Wash your tongue.
I'm sorry.
Listerine your tongue. Let me ask you something. This is a real question.
I just watched Old School. It's the Frank the Tank part.
If like I soak my tongue in Listerine for 30 seconds, can I lick whoever I want? And I don't close my mouth since.
As long as you don't salivate in between.
Yeah, so it's just tongue out the whole time.
Yeah.
Did the WHO release protocol on this yet?
I haven't looked. Look, if you're listening, Google WHO tonguing and see. Check it out. See what they say. Because when this comes out, you know the information will have changed at that point.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I just found out about fizzing within this hour.
Oh my God. God knows. I was like, I laughed when I heard that. Like I've never laughed in my entire life. And I don't really know why. Cause it's a terrifying thought that your body is going to feel like it's having an electric shock. It's like, hey, I know you haven't heard a scary symptom in a while, but check this shit out.
Fizzing. Yeah, take this new one out. Enjoy.
Enjoy. See ya. Thenews.com. Follow us.
All right, Jeff. We got
to
go.
All right. Thanks for talking to me, Benny.
Right. Brad, are you fizzing yet?
I think I might be.
Did that wonderful interview give you a fizz in your body?
I'm wondering about that.
I mean, maybe we should kid about it. If you actually are fizzing, it's probably not that cool.
Keep an eye on your temperature if you're fizzing.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. But that was fun, man. I love talking to Jeff.
Oh my God, he's part of this. He's part of our history here.
I'm glad I got to try to give him a little bit of a pep talk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope it worked. I can't even convince myself of this stuff half the time.
Well,
so,
that's
the
best way to do it is convince somebody else, buddy.
Right. Just talk your way through it, right? Talk your way through it.
Convince your friends and maybe you'll believe yourself.
You know what's funny, too, is I've, spoke to a few people in the last 3 or 4 days, songwriters and people who are involved in the live streaming and the Instagram, and they're all asking me the same question, which is like, how much should we be doing this? What's too much? Yeah. What's not enough? Like, and I'm like, you're asking the wrong fucking guy. No one wants to hear me go on IG live right now and, rock my fucking paradiddles at 130 BPM, which is all the music I've been doing. But, it is like a brave new world. And I wonder where it's going to talk. I was in a separate text with somebody last night where I'm wondering if they're going to take this sports model, where they're filling, taking empty stadiums and stuff and basically putting only the team, only some staff and umpires playing in front of empty crowds and then airing it on TV. And it's got to be a matter of time before, Live Nation, who somebody like that who can probably afford fucking 100 COVID-19 tests, organizes like a private venue with staff, with, they test the band, they test the crew, they do this and actually stage a live show,
right?
Streaming live with a full band. Yeah. That, I think, is probably the next step because, there's going to be a shelf life to the IG live stuff and that. But it's a brave new world. I don't really know what to what to tell people to do, you know?
No, and hopefully we'll, you know, we won't have to deal with it for too long.
But. Yeah, we'll see. There's one thing I know, okay?
Tell me.
Is that neither you or I can do all that much about it. That's all I know. So,
there's nothing we can do.
So I'm saying, man.
And as parents, we both know that, like, we're not going to be bored. I could use a little boredom right now, let me tell you.
Yeah. Even I am getting a little, the Paw Patrol game is getting a little, you know, I've been Rocky and Sky for a couple weeks now. I'm in character. I'm running out of situations for them, you know?
Yeah. You've got a few less situations probably than I do, but.
No, it's good though, man. It's all good. We'll all get through this. Just got to keep our head on right, make sure we don't fall prey to all the bullshit people are going to try to feed us, you know?
Exactly. That's the most important thing.
But, so, Jeff, obviously, sadly, not much going on, like everyone. Couple Instagram things. He's Jeff Rosenstock on Twitter, Jeff Rosenstock on Instagram and Facebook. He scored his own name for all those somehow. Mm. But check him out. He's obviously super busy, still doing the music for Craig and the Creek. He's got a little doll of James Dolan that he sticks needles into every night to try to save the Knicks. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on too.
That'll work.
But yeah, that was fun. And I guess everyone keep your eyes open. We're going to have a lot more of these in the near future.
Yeah, it looks like this may be the way. If we can settle into this and it feels like it's working, then yeah, maybe we'll relaunch the Patreon account. And we do have some bonus stuff we could toss out. And we got a couple more of these specifically COVID episodes, but then we'll try to settle into like a regular sort of off-track vibe if we can do it remotely.
For sure.
I wanted to thank. So we do have the Venmo though. Like a few people have really enjoyed that. We're trying to keep these going. We've got a Venmo account at Off Track. I want to thank Barton Banta and John Terry. They both kicked in, thanked us. Thank to you guys because we do have a few costs to do this, and it's nice to have them covered. So
yeah, it's awesome. It's also just nice to know that people are into it and motivating. It's motivating.
There's no way we can give up now with these people. Like, even if there's only a few of you that really care, you know how it is, man. All it takes is a couple super fans to keep you going, right?
Listen, it doesn't take much to keep me going. It takes just some semblance that I'm doing something not useless with my days is good enough for me. So the idea that people do it, it's great, man. I love that people are listening. If anyone's got any ideas about stuff we should do, how to present it, content, guests, like I'm all up for it, man. Hit us up. But yeah, thanks to all them for hitting the Venmo. Definitely appreciate it. At least you and I don't have to cover the basic costs out of pocket and, you know.
Yeah.
See where it goes from here.
Thanks.
And if anyone else likes it, you know, I don't know, hit us up more.
Yeah, you can still go to iTunes and leave us reviews. Those are, you know, those are currency too, man. We realize that not everybody can afford to kick in for their little podcast right now. But that's helpful, you know, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Going Off Track. And,
enough of our awful self-promotion. Oh, and also, speaking of which, at the end of the last episode, I made a Willie Loman reference I said, someone texted me, tweeted me almost immediately after the episode, meaning they listened to the end.
Right.
And a man named Craig Lutz said, I'm not totally brushed up, but he quoted Death of a Salesman. You know what's funny about that, too? The Willie Loman character in my head is embedded as Brian Dennehy, because I saw Brian Dennehy play Willie Loman on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah, sure did.
You know that sure I had lunch with that guy in the 80s.
What? Dennehy?
Yeah, I was really good friends with his daughter. I went to college with his daughter.
You're going to have to tell me that story. I'm a Dennehy fan.
And he was all Dennehy, dude. Trust me.
Well, thanks, everyone, for coming. Keep an eye out for episodes of some awesome people in the next week or two, and be good out there.
Yeah, stay safe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.